Guess what?
He's just asking the
question. Hey,
this is the greatest way to come into it, like in the middle of an executive discussion about what we're not going to do and what we're going to do.
Yo, you know how you got to get some B-roll? Look, the episodes start with the music, you know, the beat, whatever's going to be the background. It starts off like, down, down. And then the voice comes in. I always start with like, well.
Well, guys.
Well, this is awkward.
We're in an NL basement.
So I guess I just found myself in this situation.
That's what's up. So we live.
Yeah, we're live. But I mean, nice. We can start the show whenever we want.
Oh, no, you're good, man.
Be like.
Put the cue it in.
Wait, I can't do that thing that Morgan does.
Oh, nah, man. You know, Morgan's like the beatbox king.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I wish I was a beatboxer and shit like that. All right, let's start the show. Directamente desde la boca del Mao. Valverde en la casa.
Fabio is so tight right now. He's like, you motherfuckers.
This nigga looks like every Dominican person's uncle.
Hey, Bobby, bro. But remember, parate aquí porque si pasas al frente de la luz, va a tirar el cambio.
Le va a cambiar la temperatura.
Yeah, you see that? Nah, I can notice it.
Make it look like a tropical storm coming through.
Yo, man, thank you for having me here, bro.
Hold on, we haven't started the show.
We haven't? Okay, damn.
You're not there yet.
I was about to get. No, I was just about to say, yo, since you didn't want to introduce it, I'm like, hey, well, shit, let me.
No, I was seeing if you were acclimated to it yet.
Oh, I'm ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
I've been recording.
I know you've been recording, nigga. That's the thing. Like,
I haven't turned anything off.
There's a little flashing red light over here. That's been flashing.
What flashing red light?
The light died.
Oh. I didn't turn. Nigga, have you seen me move?
I don't know.
Nah, you're good, bro. You're good, papi, pero no te pares frente a la luz.
It's fine. I think I'm fine. Fine, it's next. And I'm like, yo, look at that.
Bro, shout out to the designer, man. Like,
that's unreal. That's called Unreal Engine.
Oh no, yeah, that's that shit they make video games with.
Yeah.
But like the whole layout, even earlier, it was like random as fuck. Okay.
Oh, you didn't see the guy flying.
The nigga sits, motherfucker sitting at the diner and shit, the spacesuit dude, like the astronaut.
He was sitting at a diner?
It looked like he was.
At a diner.
He might have been sitting.
I thought he was like walking down like the universe or some shit.
No, that's a different one.
Oh,
there's one where he just.
I like the one that he's like flying.
No, I didn't even see that one.
I see.
You gotta let me know in the middle of the interview so I can turn around and look at it.
What interview? I haven't started yet. I keep on fucking with his head.
Yeah. I know you're recording it though.
I'm recording it. This is B-roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at these prisms. Ladies and gentlemen.
That was good.
We'd like to welcome you to another episode of. No? El Basement Podcast. I got my special guest with me, Mr. F. Eli. Ah. El Flaco.
Thank you so much.
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great.
I'm feeling good.
I feel great.
Yo.
That pre-sesh is like a pre-workout.
Let's say a shout out to the Hunch Punch. Shout out to the Hunch Punch, man.
Like...
I'm gonna have a pre-warning. Anybody that's watching and whatnot, there might be some like fireworks in our background. Right, we're filming just a few hours, like we're counting down to New Year's. Really, we pre-gaming for New Year's right now. Right, so I got the ever so talented Mr. Flocker in front of me, man, I really have to say that I appreciate the fact that you would take the time to come out and support the podcast. I know you work harder than most people just on the, you get me, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Let's not call it 9 to 5 because you know it's more than those hours,
no,
right?
No, for sure.
But you know what I mean, the day gig, right?
Yeah.
But then you put in more work than most people do on the other side, the other 5 to 9. And I got to commend you for that, bro, because you've
Thank you.
You've learned how to maintain that balance.
Man, it's a lot of sleepless nights. Definitely a lot of cutting it close to the 9 to 5, as we would call it, to the being late, getting fired. But, you know,
I had some dope-ass jobs in my life, bro.
Yo.
And, you know what happened?
And they, you know, all my bosses, all my previous bosses know that I do music, which is funny. So I let that be very, very known. I hope
he's making more.
He is. I think he went up. But, yeah, no, like, you know, they be like, hey, so what do you, so you do music, this, that? And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, he's like, so, like, what, when do you take time for that? Because you work 5 to 6 days a week. Where the fuck do you?
Are you doing it at work?
Yeah, he's like, you know, I've told my old boss, like, hey, man, you know, I have a video shoot on Sunday, so Monday I might be 30 minutes late. And they're like, man, and, you know, I'll get to the job a little late. They're cool. And then when I show them the final product, he's like, are you serious? Did you seriously stay till 3 in the morning shooting that video? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, I couldn't do it. And, you know, of course, these are older people than my age, but, you know, I'm like, hey, man.
I'm feeling like I'm getting to that age.
You got to do it. It is getting there. Like, it is.
Yo podía hasta el próximo día a las 3 de la tarde.
I'll be at the bar having a drink, and I'm yawning.
Nah, nigga.
Feeling like I need to take my ass home. Some real shit.
Or you be falling asleep.
They know.
If you know, you know.
I'm gonna leave it at that. We won't even highlight that. But if you know, you know. Oh man. But no, definitely been working a lot, man. Just trying to get everything together. I mean, you know, I took a hiatus in music.
How long?
Shit, I wanna say it was a little bit over 2 years. 2 to 3 years.
All right, you know what? We gotta start with the bio.
Okay.
Right? Sure. So in order for people to understand that, right? Like where you're coming at right now.
Yeah.
Cause I like I'm ready to go like this, people. Dude. You get me?
Well, I don't want to bore y'all too much,
Can I?
Sure.
Okay. Just, you know, like, I want you to introduce yourself to the fan base, let's say. In case, FYI, TLDR in the little semicolon, the T-long, I think it stands for too long didn't read.
Oh, is that what it
it's
is?
Like, it's like, yo, you know, like, it's, let's say that there's like 18 paragraphs or something, and then like in an article, they'll have the last paragraph, it'll be like TL, too long didn't read, and just be like summarized in one paragraph. Boom. Like that. So that's how, you know, like, I'm not trying to summarize anything, but
correct.
I'm trying to, like, I guess, get them up to speed.
All right. So for those that don't know me, which I don't know how many people that would be, but it's probably not a lot.
I want to know your name.
My name is Jonathan Rivera.
Okay. How?
That's the government. I am in my 30s.
In your 30s. I like that. 30s, I like that. That's, yeah, a good answer. That's a straight answer.
Those that know me know.
Like Michael Jackson knows.
Yeah,
like,
it's in my 30s.
Okay. In your 30s.
I look a little younger, which is great. Then shout out to my mom and dad for the genes and God.
Your nationality?
I'm from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
I was born in Rio Piedra, but I was raised in Santurce. Okay. La Calle Betance. Like, pretty common area. I'm like not too far from where Arcángel is from, you know,
okay.
La Calma and all that stuff. But I'm more from the side, Valdoriotti, Calle Betance, La Avenida.
I feel like I have to visit Puerto Rico to really understand.
Oh, it's literally.
How close?
Oh, it's really close.
I can't
close.
Visualize it.
You know,
exactly.
PR has like a city look to a certain side, and then it's like the hood is next to it. It's almost like you go to.
Is it like boroughs or counties?
All right, you go to North Ave. And you know, you have Fourth Ward.
Yeah.
And you remember where Jada used to be at?
Yeah.
So that house, you go to the street next door and it's a fucking project. So it's like literally next to each other. I went to Nashville earlier this year and it was the same similar setup.
It's
like
just transition
older
of
homes
like this.
And then the other side is projects. It's okay. Like, you know, Section 8 and shit. So it's like, that's where I grew up, like literally next to it. My grandma's from Residencial Lloren Torre.
Were you on the good side of it?
I was on the okay side, to be honest. People that know about where the area I'm from, it is calm. You know, it's not a place where I couldn't walk.
Okay.
A couple blocks.
That's good. That's blessing.
So it's not bad, but that that you hear gunshots every night, you hear this, but I mean, that's, then again, that's Puerto Rico, like, just by about proximity, anywhere,
right? Yeah,
yeah, even you go to New York and you go to the Bronx and you're still hearing,
you could be in a great neighborhood,
yeah,
that was like 2 miles from here, you're gonna hear it.
It's one of those, like, I'm from that side, pero me fui de Puerto Rico at a young age.
How
so
old?
About 9-10 years old.
¿A dónde?
I moved to New York.
New York City.
Yeah, so I lived in Flushing Avenue. And a lot of people say that's Brooklyn, and a lot of people say that's Manhattan. Cool.
Flushing,
and it's like
Avenue.
Flushing Avenue, apparently Flushing Avenue goes like a long way, like it's a long road.
I know Flushing Avenue to be in Queens.
Well, there you go. I've heard of that too. So it's like, I have an uncle in Queens, and every time I say Flushing Avenue, it's like, oh, what part of Flushing Avenue? Brooklyn or Queens or this side?
But I do think that, look, Queens and Brooklyn do like border the sides of each other and whatnot. So I can see that there's, you know, like a, you know, and that's like by Jamaica, Queens and whatnot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's close to Brooklyn.
So I mean, I went there in 96. I think I went to like fourth grade in school over there. And then I chose to move back to Puerto Rico for a summer while my mom transitioned from New York to Atlanta in 1998.
98. That was after the Olympics.
Yeah. So that's okay. Literally like, that's towards the end of Freaknik. Towards the end of Freaknik, like when it was literally about to end. And then for those that are from here, that's like back when... Where was Freaknik at? In Buckhead, right? Wasn't it?
No.
I mean, where was that
Freaknik
area?
Freaknik was on the highway, bro.
No, not Freaknik. Where was the whole, like, that whole strip where they shut down the clubs for a minute?
Buckhead.
That's what I meant. So yeah. It was back when Buckhead didn't have no rules.
That was before Ray, the nigga from the Baltimore. Ray, the Baltimore Ravens. Ray.
I'm not a
the linebacker. Ray Allen? No, Ray.
Ray Allen's a basketball
Ray Davis?
Player.
No, Ray. Oh, my God, I can't. I can't think about it right now. It's Ray. But the point is, Ray, this nigga's done shot somebody and killed somebody in Buckhead.
That's what caused all that halting and shit. The clubs, you couldn't. All right, so I came here around that time. I mean, I'm talking about, you had records like, what was that shit? Blackstreet Boys.
Oh, okay.
Blackstreet. I think
Blackstreet. Yeah, Blackstreet.
Yeah, then you had your
diggity.
Yeah, I got the bag and bag
no
it out.
Diggity.
Bro, that was the shit. Like breakbeats was the shit. Breakbeats was like a thing out here.
What was around that time? Because that's like before the era of crunk.
Oh,
like,
man,
right at the beginning
this
of
was
it.
Like
right at the beginning of it.
Right at the beginning. Yeah, 98. Like, dude, I heard. I mean, breakbeats.
Lil Jon probably got popular a year later. Two years later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a lot of. I think Bone Thugs and Harmony were really popping in Atlanta at one point because of their album drop or something. I think at that time, I remember one of my neighbors, they bought the album.
I wonder why, because Bone Thugs is not from Atlanta.
They not, but you know they had that.
But I mean,
sound.
It was,
I
that
mean,
southern
that,
music.
That boom boom, or the it's the first of the month. You know, like that shit, bro. That shit was playing in the radio heavy.
You know what tripped me out? I
Even
had
if
no
that's
idea that
Chamillionaire
was in.
Oh yeah.
I was just like, really?
So, you know, I come here in '98, and I don't really get into the music scene till about when I'm 15. I'm living already near. At this point, I'm in near Boggs Road.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school, Berkmar, Sweetwater Middle School, Berkmar.
Were you good in school?
I was smart. I just didn't fuck with homework, bro. I didn't fuck with homework. I felt like, yo, I know this shit. I don't gotta sit here and fucking go home and bring back a paper.
In high school,
showing you that I knew how to do it.
0% homework.
Dude, my participation level was off the chain.
Refused.
But my homework was shitty. So, like, teachers were like, oh, you gotta do homework. And
if I'm in school for 8 hours a day and you expect me to go home and do more of that shit, you are misusing my time. And your time. Fuck you.
Nah, no lie. You know, I was one of these kids that growing up, I got like diagnosed with ADHD. You know how motherfucking doctors out here be like, you know, they quick to say something wrong with your ass.
Yeah.
Because you got a little extra energy and
get
shit.
Get that pay.
Yeah, so it's like, I grew up in that type of like, oh, well, you know, that kind of situation in school. So that was even more discouraging because at that point I'm like, bro, I'm not no fucking charity case for these motherfuckers to feel sorry for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So at that point, you know, I did try my best. Of course, ninth grade got the hell out of my time because ninth grade year, I come in fresh out of middle school, going into the ninth grade.
Thugging.
And, bro, not even thugging, you know, like just wilding, just skipping school. Bro, I think in a whole year, I don't know how many school days are in a year, but I want to say in the paper it said I skipped like maybe about close to 90 out of the school year. Oh, just fucking skipping school, getting high with my homies. Typical shit, chilling with females. Like, you know, you had, this was back in the days.
But
where,
90 days, bro, see, that's like, dedication.
If
you bro. Go to,
if, nah, well, it's not dedication.
It's like
just 130
days of school.
It's like, my nigga, yo, like every day, you know, I get off the bus, we go have the breakfast.
Go left or go right?
Yeah. It's like you got the classroom here, or you got your two homies, like, bro, I got three shorties that want to chill and they want to smoke a blunt. Let's go hang out with them. And fuck off for like two periods. Two periods turn into four periods. By the fifth, nigga, the school day's done. Coming back to hop right back on a school bus.
Oh, so you would make it back to school to jump on the bus?
Oh yeah, I wasn't a dumbass skipping guy. Like, my mom didn't find out to the end of the year that I would skip that many days, because I would do it to where, you know, I'll skip, come back, hop on the bus, and even if they did call my house, I'm there answering. Like, yo, she's not here, she's at work. Like, you know, my mom.
That's before the time of cell phones.
At the time, my mom, you know, my mom worked a afternoon like cleaning job at night, cleaning dealerships and shit for a cleaning company. And yeah, bro, I was wilding, and it didn't catch up to me until that paperwork hit. I couldn't catch it in the mail on time. She got there. She got to it before I did.
They always catch.
And yeah, you know, and of course the grades. You know what I'm saying? I'm not proud of any of it, but you know my grades weren't too well because of the whole homework thing. I could participate all day.
Like, but, I barely work here. You expect me to work at home?
Not exactly. Like, I was bored. I was bored in class, yo.
That was my problem. Yeah. I was entirely bored.
Falling asleep
because nothing it was like my teachers hated the fact that it's like you're disruptive. But not in a sense of because you're acting up because you don't know, but because you're bored.
Yeah.
And this is effortless for you, and you don't realize it, that it's not the same for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was not going to fucking do homework because I didn't need the extra help. You get me?
Yeah.
I was taking the test. I was fucking getting A's left and right. Best writer in the class.
And that's the thing,
tables.
Dude, my like language thinking, arts like, and social studies was on point. Math and science, though, I fucking hated it.
My elementary school didn't have like an honors program, but getting into sixth grade, they put me into the highest honors class that my school had. And it was like, I was just like, I had no idea. You get me? And, school was boring. And I was completely bored. And then I moved here, and it was like,
yeah, I mean, it was a culture shock for me. It was a culture shock.
I mean, you moved to Gwinnett.
But dude, I moved to Graves Road, Pleasantdale, like 1998 Pleasantdale. I'm talking about Brownside, Sureños, like that's what was popping out.
Oh, everybody was Mexican back then.
Yeah, like there was no, like out there was
I remember
no
all
other
the
Puerto
Dominican
Rican
girls.
Families. There was a very few Dominican people. There was very few Puerto Ricans. It was a lot of Mexican, you know, maybe a lot of Central Americans. And back then I was ignorant to the point where I didn't notice who was who until later that I really started really getting to know the different cultures. But yeah, dude, you're talking about culture shock at its fullest. You know, like me coming from Puerto Rico where my neighbors are Dominican. You know, I lived in Santurce where it's a predominantly Dominican area. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
It's like, not to make it sound stereotypical, but like how they say, okay, you know, you go to Jimmy Carter, Gwinnett, it's a lot of Mexicans. You go to Santurce, it's a lot of Dominican families. I mean, I had like 80% of my friends when I was growing up in PR, they were Dominican.
Okay.
You know, I just happen to be in that one area in Santurce that a lot of Dominicans live there.
Word.
So, you know, it's like me coming over here and seeing that with the Mexican culture and the Mexican people and kind of getting to know it. Yeah, it was a culture shock, yo. I had my cholo days. Back in the day. I know. You look at me now. You're like, nah, this nigga could have never been. Nah, I had my fucking big wide baggy jeans with the Cortezes and the fucking belt with the fucking letter on it. You know what I'm saying? With your initials on it. You know, like,
word.
I grew up into that. Like, I came here
because that was prevalent out here.
I mean, dude, I had my two older sisters dated cholos, so it's like I had that influence around me a lot. So I understood that culture a lot. I mean, to this day, you know, I can pull off a Mexican accent pretty well, better than the typical Puerto Rican could. You know, motherfuckers be like, nigga, I could have sworn you was Mexican. But it's because I grew up around it so much.
Oh, you know, I didn't know that. Same thing
growing up with a Dominican stepdad. That's why my I'm very close to, like, you know, lo que es contigo, con Morgan, con Buba, cuando hablamos en español. Oh, que lo que es, manito, tranquilo, no, tú sabes, aquí heavy, que sea. Yeah. Y me sale fluyente. Porque,
normal.
You ain't fortunate. Porque yo me crié con un padrastro dominicano que me hablaba así.
Ajá.
So it's like, same thing here, yo. When I came here, the culture, it was like a major culture shock. And, you know, just growing up from probably like 10, 11, 12, 13, it wasn't until 15 when I had a best friend by the name of Robin. Shout out to Robin Yamna. That's what we used to call him.
Shout out.
Yeah, man, he had told me about, like, yo, you know, my cousin, he does like techno dance music and he produces and make beats with this program called Fruity Loop. And I was like, man, what do I need, though? He's like, yo, you need a computer, anything, Windows 98, it doesn't matter. I was like, bet. My mom had, like, a fucking computer to do office work and print papers and shit. And I low-key, like, took it from her and migrated it to my room. And then she kind of questioned.
Before that, you never really had any interest in, like, computers and stuff?
Fuck no. Like, no, I've always had an interest since I was in Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico at the age of 8 and 9, I wasn't allowed to listen to reggaeton because I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness setting. Like 80% of my family is Jehovah's Witness.
You are fucking kidding.
I'm not. So I was prohibited.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Well, now you know. Now you about to feel what I'm about to say. I'm about to tell you this story. And, bro, when I tell you that I was 8, 9 years old.
How do I not know this already? I know how long?
Well, bro, you know what's funny? I know a lot of people here in Georgia that used to go to my congregation, and they're now, some of them are artists, which there you go.
Nigga, me and Plot used to walk around La Asamblea, nigga.
Bro, me and Plot used to go to the same Chambly, the Chambly Jehovah's Witness hall.
Wow.
That was my home, bro.
You remember fucking Stephanie?
Bro, I know all of them. Tanisha.
Priscilla.
Bro, all of them.
Guilty?
Yeah, Guilty. Guilty's wife, Melissa?
I think it's Priscilla.
No,
Melissa.
No, not Melissa. Melina. Yeah. Melina, Tanisha, like, we all went
Tanisha,
to that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Tanisha. You remember Tanisha?
Oh.
Yeah, bro. Her family, I know her dad. I know. Well, not Alpharetta, to this day, right? I'm not going to lie. I don't know where she lives at now. Okay. But no. Growing up, dude, like, I was like, Tanisha was like my church girlfriend, you know, at one point. You know, shout out Tanisha. She know what's up, though. She know the story. But yeah, bro, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I've been here since 98, going into that.
I am blown away right now.
Bro, at 8, 9, I had to go to my neighbor, who was 4 years older than me, and be like, bro, how much I gotta pay you so you can give me these bootleg CDs of, like, Playero, of Reggaeton Sex Crew? Because, bro, had I been caught playing that shit in my aunt's house, it would have been a fucking rap, my nigga. I would have probably she would have called my mom and said, yo, take this nigga out of here. I was staying in PR with my aunt for the longest, you know? My mom's aunt. And so growing up to not being able to do that, I would low-key on summertime, I would be out of school, my uncle and aunt would be working, and I'll be at home. And I was young in a situation where my aunt would leave the house. And, you know, the houses in PR and DR, they have portones outside. So it's like, you got the door, you can unlock the door. But if they put a lock on that porton, you ain't getting out of that house, bro, until that person gets back.
Right.
You know, they got the metal joint.
Yeah.
They would leave that shit locked because they knew that I would want to go hang out across the street or go down the street.
Con todo el mundo.
So they would try to keep me from that. But I had my ways around all that shit.
You always do.
Bro, so I grew up bumping to that reggaeton Bro, was as early as fucking like Bling Bling, La Misión 1, 2, 3, Playero 47, 46, 48. Like all of that era time of me getting bootleg CDs and bumping them real loud with the windows open in the house while my uncle and aunt are gone. And my neighbor is like looking at me like, damn, I know you can't get out, but that's what's up, blah, blah. And he would be the one to provide me with the CDs. Wow. That's how I grew up getting into music. And eventually I ended up like doing shit like buying some tapes, blank tapes, and recording myself like act like a host. Hey, well, gracias por llamar, que siento que sirve a la radio. And I would try to act like a radio personality.
Wow.
So that's what kind of got me into like hearing myself, my voice, and then having the love of music, because I would listen to all music. I would listen to bachata, merengue, salsa, but then I would have my secret, you know, like my own time where I would be like, yo, I'm gonna listen to this reggaeton, this new like reggaeton sex crew, when that whole like the
I had to record from the radio
shit, bro, came out, bro. I remember I got caught one day. My aunt came a little earlier than usual, bro. Man, I had to throw the CD out of my window and pick it up 2 days later from the yard, because I was like, she could not find that shit, bro. She would have ripped that shit, broke it. Because it was just, at that time, it was vulgar. And the
thing is that probably wasn't, like, anything important in her mind. You get me? Like, if she happened to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
She would have, like, pero we grew up with that fear. Like,
no, yeah, yeah. Any other mom would have been like, oh, that's crazy. But with us, bro, like, you know, Jehovah Witness, bro, they don't play.
Jehovah was heavy on the heart, nigga.
Boy, they heavy. They heavy. Boy. You know? So it's like.
Hey, it's a big question.
Nah. Man, get out of here, bro. I can't believe he just asked that.
No, man. You never.
How old are you?
I mean, y'all Jehovah Christian, motherfucker.
Nah, I said my family Jehovah. I mean, I believe in certain things. But Jehovah, no, they don't believe in Christmas. They don't celebrate. Look like
he just bought himself,
bro,
an 18-wheeler.
Bro, they don't even celebrate birthdays. They don't celebrate none of that, bro. They don't believe in no pagan holidays. And I get it. No, you know what's funny? I'm my age now, and I totally understand why they don't believe in that shit, because it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
So I totally agree.
There's
I still celebrate
bullshit.
My birthday, but I agree with a lot of that shit. That's why I'm able to see it differently now. But bro, like growing up like that, yeah, man, I didn't really wasn't able to fuck with music until 15.
I feel like I was robbed of a lot of my childhood because of that.
I don't think it's robbed, because you know.
Yeah, they rob you of your innocence.
Well, yeah.
You know why?
You don't
the second that you
put, this,
the second that you
shit,
start
you know?
Pretending to be someone that you're not at home, and leaving your house and being somebody else, you are no longer a child.
Yeah.
You a whole grown person.
I mean, dude, I was giving congregational speeches at 9 years old to like 50, 75 people in the Kingdom Hall.
Bet.
And
I did my first one at 7.
See, so imagine going from that and then to now,
bro. My like, mom married an anciano. I lived with an anciano.
Oh, that's deep, yeah.
Since 2000.
That's like,
nigga.
That's like
I,
no offense,
I was
but that's
the,
like that's like jail.
I was
that's
the
jail.
Exemplary kid in the congregation.
Oh yeah, if you was the example one,
I was.
Oh yeah,
I was. That's but that, like, that but pressure. Like, pressure. But it was just like, you gotta know this is fake. Like, because it was just like to the T. You can't get nothing over me. You get me? Like, I knew everything, every answer, nigga. Si, hermano.
My nigga says, si, hermano.
Bro, what?
He had the responses.
What? Dude, I used to, that cuando me daban partes.
Now they give you the mic? When they hand you the mic and shit?
I'd be like, you know when you take a pause? Espera.
Yo. You stupid. Oh man, that's classic.
And yo. You bust out the no. Y lo que dijo proclamadores.
Yeah.
Look.
Nah, man.
I used to write my partes, and the people would come up from the congregation and be like, "Who do we got to thank for that?" Like my stepdad, because he was the, you know, the anciano. So the, I'm like,
"You trying to
want to
take credit
what?
For it?"
No, he'd be like, "Oh yeah, yeah." I'd be like, "Shut up! What? You helped nothing. What?" Dude, he's the worst person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, man, that sucks.
I can't really complain about the way that he treated my mom, because I can't say that I ever known him to treat my mom wrong in any kind of way, shape, or form, right? But just the way that he treated me as a whole was pretty shitty. You got me? And so, like,
I mean,
have
that's
that
the
memory.
Whole stepdad setting, no?
Because,
I mean, was he your real dad?
No, That's exactly. Stepdad. But
well, no, I grew up, bro.
But remember what we grew up in, what they teach us, right? This is supposed to be like a superhero.
Like non-Jehovah Witness stepdad, bro. That's, and he's Dominican. That's Fabio. Tough. Like, shout out to you Dominicans that grew up, you know.
You turn off.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's all good.
Switch. Shout out to you Dominicans that grow up with the strict dads. Yo, that's, I mean, my dad's Puerto Rican and I, you know, I didn't grow up with him personally, but I grew up with a Dominican stepdad and them motherfuckers don't play, especially the one I grew up with. Like, he was strict, not Jehovah's Witness at all, bro. This dude used to, you know, play the lottery, do his thing. Strict as fuck. So wow. It's like, I get the whole growing up, like saying fuck that nigga, yo, cause he put me through all this bullshit that I didn't have to put through. And then when you compare the whole, like,
nah, he wasn't strict. He was just an idiot.
Gotcha.
He's an idiot. He married a woman that has four kids already that are nearly grown.
He ain't know what the fuck to do.
He thought, oh, I just gotta start knocking them out, you know, and getting each one of them to move out so I can, you know, like, not have anybody in my way of my prize or whatever, some shit like that. Groovy motherfucker. Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, like, I was the one that hooked my mom up with that dude.
Oh, so you just taking that guilt all the way.
Because me and his daughter were really cool. She was older, a lot older than me. I mean, I was like fucking 13. She was like 21, 22. You get me? She was grown, but she went to school for like computer technology or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I would go over there because she would teach me how to work on computers and shit like that. And we would hang out a lot. And, you know, I could play on the internet or whatever at her crib and then introduced her and then blah, blah, blah. And so I carry the guilt of that. And then he just, it's like, but I expected nothing but greatness. You get me? I was like, hey, you know, like at the wedding, everybody's expecting like, yo, da, da, da. And then like by week one, he's like, who is this guy?
You know what's funny? That's why I don't be hooking people up like that no more, bro. I used to be okay, like, oh,
I mean,
that
I can't
would
take
be
the blame for that because my mom can't like really say like, Raymond, you fuck, man.
I used to be like, yo, that's
just do that.
That's dope. That's dope that you hook people up, but it's like, then you feel kind of like you're accountable for their actions because you're like, fuck, man, this nigga was supposed to not let me down and be the right nigga for this person.
Yeah, and but that's like, not your I've responsibility.
No, it's not. But you still, I mean, bro, we're human.
Because you don't feel bad if they break up right away.
No,
like, oh,
you don't. But when the shit gets toxic, you're like, fuck, what did I do? Like, you know, when the
like, I didn't even know he was toxic. Like,
well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I done hooked up a couple of my homies with females or a couple of my homegirls.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure I ruined somebody's life one time.
Oh, yeah, man, I done fucked it up.
And they just had a baby, so they're fucked now.
I done ruined a couple of people's lives by like, saying, yeah, my nigga holla at her. And it's like, I almost wish I didn't. But, you know, you can't control that. You know, that's something that's beyond you. That's, I think at that point, once those two people decide to fuck with each other at that level, they have to, it's like you're washing your hands clean with that situation because you're like, look, guys, I only thought you guys would be good. Now, all this other shit that I don't know about, because this motherfucker don't act like that when he around me. You see what I'm saying?
It's a whole different
situation. It'd be a whole different shit. So it's like, yo, I just want y'all to know that shit got nothing to do with me. And I'm here for both of y'all. And that's that.
All right. Amen. What's it called? I know we got sidetracked there. Because
nah, you're good. That was good.
I was just good in the past. Look, anybody that's J-Dub is over here like, I love this podcast.
Nah, yeah. They're probably like, yo, they are fucking saying the same thing that I've
no
had.
One speaks
nah,
of
but
this.
Hey, shout out to my J-Dubs, man. My mom, you know, they're good peoples, yo. They're good peoples.
I don't think anybody that dedicates their life really to any kind of religion is looking for money. They want to do good.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
They're very positive people.
Yeah, you get me?
I mean, a lot of church members.
What you're taught is what you're taught. The person responsible for what you're taught, the person responsible for something that you're taught is the teacher.
Yeah.
You get me? If you're expected to take this as fact, you get me? If you go to, you know, like, let's say school, right? And a math teacher is not doing the right job or whatever. And then you guys go to the test and everybody fails and shit like that. They fuck with the teacher. You get me? There's like something happened in your class. It's like one or two, we get it, but it's like all of them. like, you get me? So
definitely fucking up.
Yeah. So so that's why I don't feel like, I don't feel any kind of rencor for the folks that got us into it, because they were just doing what they.
I take it as a it's like a life lesson. You know, we got to learn some knowledge that not everybody gets to understand. Even if when
my mom hasn't learned,
even if when we were young we didn't fully understand it, like I kind of comprehend some of the things I learned back
no,
then.
No, certain teachings are absolutely undeniably true.
Keep in mind,
true.
A lot of this stuff is replicated and changed up in their own way. And we're not going to get too deep in that because that's not the type of podcaster that this is.
Shit, but, this is bad, right? It we went. We took a fucking 40-foot dive.
Right, let's take a nice little break real quick.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Everything's dying?
Everything's out.
Hey, man.
Really? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Zondele. I want to thank FALA for coming through. We had some technical difficulties, all right? Mistakes were made. We are new, guys. Please bear with us, okay? We're new. So we're going to have to, reschedule with Fly so we can go ahead and finish out the interview and get the rest of the bio and, you know, and talk about all the good stuff. But, I mean, we got such great content. I had to let this out, you know? So thank you again, FALA. Shout out to everybody else that, you know, made it possible. Insane in the building, of course, you know, Liddy Beats Studio, Liddy Beats is myself, Son de Leon, Ramon Liranzo, all that. Thank you so much. And especially you, the listener, make sure to tell everybody at basement.com. And we got merch coming up, all right? So if you could get, you know, one of them sweater shirts, you know, whatever, da, da, da. We appreciate it. It all helps support, you know, the dream, the vision, and all that. Thank you so much for your listenership. And I'll see you on the next episode. Next one. We got Waldy, so check him out.